The Italian Wine Podcast is the community-driven platform for Italian wine geeks around the world. Support the show by donating at italianwinepodcast.com. Donate 5 or more euros and we'll send you a copy of our latest book, My Italian Grape Geek Journal, absolutely free. To get your free copy of My Italian Grape Geek Journal, click support us at italianwinepodcast.com or wherever you get your pods. Grazie mille.
Welcome to Wine, Food, and Travel with me, Mark Millen, on Italian Wine Podcast. Listen in as we journey to some of Italy's most beautiful places in the company of those who know them best, the families who grow grapes and make fabulous wines. Through their stories, we'll learn not just about their wines, but also about their ways of life, the local and regional foods and specialities that pair naturally with their wines, and the most beautiful places to visit. We have a wonderful journey of discovery ahead of us, and I hope you will join me. Welcome to Wine, Food, and Travel with me, Mark Millen, on Italian Wine Podcast. Today, it's my great pleasure to travel to a wine zone between Verona and Vicenza that is less well known, but which certainly deserves to be better known, Montelicini. My guest this morning is Michael Albarello from the Fongaro Spumante Metodo Classico Wine Estate, who will tell us all about the area and its wonderful sparkling wines. Grazie, Michael. Thank you so much for being my guest this morning. How are you?
I'm very good. Good morning. Thank you for having me here.
It's my pleasure. Now, Michael, as I say, the Montelicini area is not as well known for our listeners around the world as perhaps areas close by, such as Soave or Valpolicella, but it's a very important source of some wonderful wines that deserve to be better known. So I'm looking forward to hearing more from you about this area. But to give our listeners a chance to really understand where you are, can you describe the Montelicini area and what it's like, the landscape, where you are precisely, so we can gain a picture in our minds?
Yes, of course. So the landscape is very beautiful and, you know, heart-raving. So technically, the winery is located in Ronca, which is in province of Verona, okay? And it's part of the Licinian National Park, okay? We are where an extinct volcano left us a fantastic soil structure composed of basalt. So the area is like between Verona and Vicenza in the Veneto region. So we are less than an hour away from Venice, and an hour away from Garda Lake. And we are very close also to the Arena of Verona. It's here that we keep our tradition alive with native variety of Durella grape.
Okay, it sounds absolutely stunning. And I know that volcanic soil, which we'll discuss in more detail as we continue our chat, is one key to the wonderful wines that you're producing. But it sounds like a stunningly beautiful area, this Licinia Natural Park.
Yeah.
It really, really does sound like a beautiful area for visitors for all sorts of reasons. I'm imagining it's quite a tourist area. Is that right?
It's not actually a very touristy area. It's kind of in the middle of nowhere, you know, and Garda Lake and Soave takes most of the tourists in this area. So it's kind of a forgotten corner of the province, actually. So we're trying to get people know about this corner and having them coming here to visit us and visit our beautiful local wines and food.
So it's an undiscovered area. That makes it even more enticing.
It is.
And I hope that our listeners, our listeners who are around the world, perhaps when they come to Verona or indeed to Venice, will make the effort to find you. I have to say that, you know, I myself don't know the area as well, and I've been to Verona many, many times. So it's certainly on my list, and I'll look forward to perhaps meeting on my next visit. Now, Michael, tell us about the story of the Fongaro Spumante Metodo Classico Wine Estate, how it began and everything about it.
Yes, of course. So the Fongaro Winery was born in the 1975 from the passion and commitment of its founder, Guerino Fongaro. Since the beginning, the founder strongly believed that cultivating a native grape was the best thing for our company. And the native grape that we believe in, it's the Durella. The name of the grape also gives the name of the type of the wine. So Durella the grape and Durella is the wine. The Durella is one of the oldest and most typical vines in the Licini Mountains, the area where we are. In the 1975, the Fondra Winery decided to focus its activity on exclusive production of classic metal sparkling wine, which was a big gamble for us, you know, because by the time there was not too many classic methods made out of Durala. Also, we embraced the new challenge in the 1985, and we completely twist our agriculture in an organic agriculture. So we are completely organic since 1985. That was the second big gamble that Fongaro decided to embrace. And to date, the management of the company has passed into the hands of a young winemaker, which name is Tanita Danese, which is a young agriculturist and oenologist who has long been linked to the Fongaro family. With her skills, experience, she is expanding the vision of the winery and linking the tradition of innovation.
Okay, so it's a really interesting story that goes back to the 1970s then. So I guess that was a big leap of faith to begin to make Metodo Classico, bottle-fermented sparkling wines from this grape that very few people will have known. I think one of the most interesting things about Italy as a whole, and certainly in this case, is that, you know, grapes such as Durella is probably grown in Monte Licini and nowhere else.
Yeah.
I've not encountered Durella elsewhere. That's part of the fascination of Italian wines, is to be able to find a grape that's grown and particularly well suited to its terroir, the locality where it's always been grown.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned the volcanic soil, which is a key to growing Durella. And, you know, we talk about volcanic soils and how it contributes to wine in many ways. We have volcanic soil nearby in Suave, for example. But in the Monti Licini, it's a particular volcanic soil. It's the basalt that you mentioned, these formations, almost geometric rocks that underlie the subsoil. And they're particularly important to adding character to the Durella grape. Is that right?
It's totally right. So actually, the Durella expresses best self on the basalt, on the volcano soils, okay? And that's like what makes our wine unique, because added to the acidity of the grape, which is very important in our case, and added to the minerals, we have the base to create, you know, a traditional method with a full body. We also think that Durella will be the perfect grape for the future's classic method, because one of the most important things of the Durella is the acidity. And the acidity allows us to harvest the grape when the grape is completely ready, you know, so we don't have to anticipate any, you know, grape harvest. So that allows us to wait until the grape are ready, and then usually we are done harvesting the wine around the end of September, beginning of October, which is a dream food for people that produce classic method.
Okay, so that's a very, very important point, that the Durella has this natural high acidity, but the grapes can still be phenolically ripe. You're not picking them just before ripeness in order to maintain acidity, but they're fully ripe, but still have this backbone of acidity that's so important to making classic method sparkling wines. Michael, would you say that as well, Durella, with its tough skin, is also particularly resistant to the challenges that we've experienced in recent years with climate change, with global warming?
Yeah, it's very true. The skin of the Durella is like very strong skin that covers and protects the grape. That's an important thing for our production, you know. So that's why we also, most of the time, we leave the, you know, the grape juice resting on the skins to get the best out of the skins, because that gives like our wines the colors and the body that we need to produce our fucking classic method wine.
The Durella is giving you a full and rich base wine from which to transform into sparkling. Is that right? It's a full wine in flavor and body.
Correct. Correct. Very interesting also that it's, for us, we think that it's easy to make a Durella that age on the leaves for many months than making a young Durella classic method, because of the acidity needs the time to round and to be, you know, we say a domesticated. So that's why we start our younger wine. It cannot be younger than 36 months, which means that we start from leaving the wine resting on the lees for at least 36 months. And that's like the youngest one that we produce. And then we go on to 96 months. The longevity of the Durella is the most important part of us. That's why we need to be very patient on the production of our wines.
Okay, well, that's a very, very important point. Now, Michael, just to be clear, Durella is the name of the grape. Durello is the name of the wine. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And what would one see on the label then? Would one see Durello Lessini or Durello Monti Lessini?
So right now on the DOC name is Lessini Durello, but it will very soon change to Monti Lessini.
Okay.
That's like an idea.
Okay. Okay, that's important for our listeners when they're seeking these wines.
Yep.
Now, let's talk about the Metodo Classico. Lessini Durello can also be made by some producers by the Martinotti method. Is that right? But you've chosen the Metodo Classico.
Yeah, correct. Since 1975, we embraced the challenge on making only sparkling classic method wines based off Durello. Okay, so we decide to not produce any Charmat method because we think that the Durella Express the best of itself on a classic method with the time. It needs time to develop and to get best out of this grape.
Okay, well, let's go through the methods then. I mean, I want to touch on another thing that you mentioned, which I think is important, the decision to farm organically. Is that difficult given the climatic conditions we've experienced in recent years with the extreme heat, perhaps the humidity, the fungal diseases? Has that been more challenging in recent years? Or do you find that organic viticulture actually indeed helps the health of the vineyard and to cope with these challenging conditions?
So it is actually challenging, but we are very lucky because the area where we are, it's very gentle to us. So we are in a hill that is like a hybrid between a hill and a mountain. We're located between 200 meters above the sea level to 500 meters above the sea level. And all the estates direction on the south. So we are always exposed to the sun. It's very windy. So that helps like the nature around us help us with agriculture. So it is actually challenging. But the area we are helps us a lot. So we are very lucky to be here. That's like we decided to be organic since forever.
Okay, that's important to know. And that position you're in, it, presumably with that altitude and the vines on slopes, it gives a good ventilation to keep the vines healthy through the summer months.
Yes, that's correct.
Michael, Fongaro Spumante Metodo Classico produces a range of Metodo Classico wines, entirely from the Durella grape. Is that correct?
That's correct. We care a lot about our processes to make the classic method. We think that as better you work in the field, as better result you will get. So we start off from the wine harvest. So we do hand picking grapes on the field every year. So we are able to select every grape on the field and bring to the winery only the grapes that we think they are good for our wine. We select our grapes and from then we do, the first process and then we leave the wine resting on concrete and iron tanks, okay, for the first 5-6 months.
This is the base wine.
That's the base wine, exactly. To keep it artisanal, after we bottle the wine, we leave it aging on our cellars for at least 36 months, which is our younger wine. And but the oldest one is also can be 96 months, which is our reserva. So we have a lot of wine stock in our cellar waiting to be tasted from Tanida and make sure that the wine is, when the wine and trying to understand when the wine gets ready, because we're trying to follow what the nature tells us. you know, because the wine is it's like nature, so we just need to adapt to where the wine is leading us and trying to, you know, get the best out of it. And then to keep it still artisanal, we do riddle every single bottles by hand, because we think that the best way to, you know, to get the yeast out of the bottle is by hand, so you don't stress out the wine, which is one of the most important things for us. You know, don't stress out the wine that's in the bottle. And then after we disgorge the wine, we just wait another 3 or 4 months until the wine settles to get ready to be drank, you know, for an aperitivo, for example.
Okay. I'm just going to clarify for our listeners who may not be entirely familiar that with a metodo classico, we're talking about secondary fermentation in the bottle. So I want to go back to that base wine that you were discussing, this base wine that you've made from the Durella grapes, fermented and then aged in, was it concrete, did you say, for some months?
Yeah.
As a still wine. And that's the base wine.
Yeah, sorry.
Now, is that base wine different for a wine destined to age 96 months compared to the base wine used to make the Fongaro wine that will be aged on the lees for 36 months, for example?
Yes, it is. And that's a very good question. So to make our reserva, we have a crew
okay. That's
like on our highest field, which is on 500 meters above the sea level. Okay. So the vines there are very old. They're almost 70 years. So the roots were able to get into through the basalt rocks, break the rocks, and try to feed themselves from the rocks. So that gives us what we need for a wine base that will rest for so many months on the leaves. The wine base that we need that we use for our reserva. But for example, for the entry-level label, the vines that are located in 200 meters above the sea level, they're young, they have a powerful body. So that's what we need for a wine that will be ready sooner than the reserva. So we plate our properties in parcels and we embase something here, and the grapes that we're picking, we decide what will go on what base, on what wine base.
Italian Wine Podcast. If you think you love wine as much as we do, then give us a like and a follow anywhere you get your pods.
Okay, that's a really, really good explanation. And I'm imagining those very old 70-year-old vines growing up at 500 meters, producing a lower yield, but a higher quality in terms of concentration and flavor, and still maintaining that strong backbone of acidity that's the hallmark of the Durella.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, so we've got the base wines, and at that point, the wines are bottled, and yeast is added along with a little bit of sugar. Would that be for the secondary fermentation?
As I said previously, we try to just follow the nature. Okay, so we just try to adapt to where the wine going and eventually fix it. So in that case, yes, we do add the liqueur de tirage, which is a mix between sugar and yeast that will go on in the bottle. And that will be corked.
Okay.
And that will start, that will make the second fermentation starting. And then we just leave the wine with a lot of patience resting for as long as possible to get the best out of that process, out of the second fermentation in the bottle.
Okay. And so this patient aging on the lees being the sediment that falls out after the yeast is fed on the residual sugars in that liqueur de tirage, which fall out and leave that sediment. That sediment is important, isn't it? That's adding character, that autolytic flavors that developed through aging in the bottle. One of the factors that makes a metodo classico different in character to a Martinotti method or tank fermented wine. So that's a very, very important process. Now, how many years is 96 months?
That's like about almost 8 years.
Well, that's incredible. That's incredible. That's a very, very lengthy aging, resulting in a far more complex wine. You explained as well the process of riddling, the remouage, this turning of the bottles by hand to nudge this sticky, yeasty sludge down into the neck of the bottle. Many producers nowadays would be using the gyro palettes that turn a large number of bottles mechanically, but this is all being done by hand. Again, you're saying this is important to not stress the wines, to treat it gently and carefully.
Yeah, that's correct. What the gyro palette will do in 4 or 5 days, it's what we do in 1.5 months by hand. So it takes time.
Yeah, it takes time, and it takes strong wrists as well. It's a repetitive job that is not easy. I've done it myself, and to do that regularly is a manual task that requires a lot of man hours or human hours to undertake that. So again, another method which results in the quality of your wines.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about the wines themselves, the character of the wines. And I particularly like to turn to matching your Lessini Dorello Montelessini wines with foods and with the foods of the region. Are your wines, would you say, gastronomic wines, good wines to enjoy with food and particularly with the local foods?
They are. Talking again about the acidity of our wines that makes our wine very dry. The classic method also makes our wine, soft and velvety on the palate. So that gives us from a good base to be able to pair, local food, which is the local food is very rich, long process of cooking.
Tell us about some of the dishes. What local foods in particular are you thinking about pairing well with your wines?
So since we are in the mountains, it's very popular here to have, wild animals ragu. That's how we call it, which is, a slow cooked meat that we add on pastas or risottos. And so those are very rich flavors food. Most of the time people pair those food to, red wines because you need a full body wine to pair to this very rich food, local food. Since we have, a good acidity that will dry out your mouth after eating this food and keep it dry, and the persistency in your mouth helps carry. It's not hard to pair our wine to local foods because of the full body and acidity of our wine.
I think that's really interesting, Michael. As you say, game or a ragu made from game from the mountains, we wouldn't normally be thinking about maybe our biggest red wines to enjoy with these dishes. But you're absolutely right. There's no reason why.
Yeah.
Because, we're thinking the tannins will help with the richness of the ragu. But that strong streak of that backbone of acidity in your classic method sparkling wines, I think would be fascinating and hugely enjoyable paired with foods of this nature. So that's it's not something I've come across, even speaking with producers from other sparkling wine regions. We haven't really spoken about having a classic method sparkling with these richer, bigger flavors that come from wild meats.
Yeah.
So that's a very, very interesting. And what are some other local dishes, perhaps, that you would say pair well with your wines?
So one of the very, very local food is soppressa di Brenton, which is a very local salami made in this little valley on the top of this hill. The idea is very similar to the salami, but it's richer. And once you have a bite of it, you get a very full bite, as I would say. And that's very local. So that's something that we like to pair to our wines because both products, the wine and the salami, are very local. They were born here and they are something that people from here are very attached to.
Okay. And I'm guessing that this local soppressa will be quite rich in fat as well.
It is.
And it would be... And that would be why, again, enjoying this, maybe with your younger, your 36-month wine, would that be the wine to enjoy with the soppressa?
Yeah, that would be also the wine that you can enjoy with the soppressa, because the idea of that wine is to be, to enjoy the 36 months on for aperitivo. And here we do the aperitivo, the local aperitivo here is always made with sparkling wine, so the Dorello, soppressa di Brenton, and some bread. That's very, local and very old culture.
Yeah, that sounds terrific. That sounds like a perfect aperitivo for me. Now, Michael, would you say that Montelessini Doc Metodo Classico is the sparkling wine of Verona. For people in Verona that are drinking a glass of local sparkling wine, they would turn to your wines.
It is. It's always been like the sparkling wine of Verona, and very important for us because we are giving people from Verona a sparkling traditional metal wine made out of a native grape, Durella. So people feel very proud of this sparkling wines, you know, because they feel like those are the wine of the people from Verona. So that's like very important for us.
Well, I think that's important. It's important for our listeners as well, many of whom will be traveling to Verona too, when they're in Verona, when they're in a bar, when they want that local aperitivo, to ask for the Montelicini Metodo Classico, and indeed the wines from Fongaro. Now, we spoke at the beginning of our chat about Montelicini and the Lassigna Park being still quite undiscovered. And I'm hoping again that this chat will encourage people to visit. Can you tell us a little bit about wine hospitality at Fongaro? Can our listeners come and visit you and discover your wines?
Yeah, definitely. We do have a wine tasting room. We do have all of our wines in the fridge ready to be drank. When we host people for wine tasting, we like to have them having journey, like a trip to our culture. So we do bring the Soppressa of Brentone and some salamis and cheeses from Ronca, from this area, because we want to keep it local, you know. And so we do bring people to the field. We just show them and touch them. We make them touch how we make our wine, and we want to express also how much passion we put on making our wine. And so to be able to do that, we just like to have people seeing every single part of the winery, you know, and we like to show them the process from the field to the table. Okay, so we have like a short visit of the winery, and then we have a short visit of the cellars, and then we sit down on the table in the wine tasting room, and then we sip the wine and we eat the local food.
Well, that sounds perfect. It's something that I would very much like to join you on when I next come to Verona. I'm going to be visiting fairly soon, so I will try to give you a call and see if I can make a visit. I think it's important for our listeners to learn about a grape they won't have perhaps tasted before, which has a long pedigree. It's a native grape that certainly should be celebrated. So I'm looking forward to visiting you myself. But in the meantime, Michael, thank you very much for giving us your time this morning, for explaining your area, the beauty of it, the basalt volcanic soil that nourishes the Durella grape to make Lassigna Durello or Montelicini Metodo Classico wines at Fongaro. It's been a great pleasure talking to you, and I think you've taught us a lot about your area. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Grazie, Michael, and I hope to see you soon.
You're more than welcome to come whenever you want.
Okay.
Buona giornata.
Buona giornata. Grazie. We hope you enjoyed today's episode of Wine, Food, and Travel with me, Mark Millen, on Italian Wine Podcast. Please remember to like, share, and subscribe right here or wherever you get your pods. Likewise, you can visit us at italianwinepodcast.com. Until next time, chin chin.